Hare Now, please take this. I don't require it. Good. So, I greet everyone on this call affectionately. After all, when we are discussing about the holy name, what? Oh yes. You need to mute your computer, Sudama. Mute. Yes, now the sound is really clear. When we are discussing the Holy Name, at that time we talk really about something that is most close to our heart. It is something very, you could call it very personal and private, because as we were hearing yesterday, chanting is not just a meditation process. Chanting is really entering into a relationship. And this relationship is at least twofold. It is a relationship to Krishna, to Allah, the greatest of all beings. And those who chant, they actually are also relating to each other in a spiritual culture. My dear listeners, let us become a little bit aware of how necessary it is to relate to each other in a spiritual culture. Yesterday, there was a very nice young devotee coming. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Who practices yoga, and he noticed that when the yogis, in Berlin at least, come on the yoga mat, they are sometimes only 1 centimeter away from each other. They do their yoga asanas or exercises here, and then next to them is a second person who practices yoga. And they may meet each other one time a week when they go to the yoga class. But rarely do you see that all the members of the yoga class exchange, discuss afterwards. They all again go back into their lives. Yes, there may be superficial talks. I think in a culture like the Bosnian culture, for instance, there is a small superficial discussions, but there are no heart-to-heart relationships developing so easy. But because in Krishna consciousness, ideally, I don't say that this is always the case, but ideally, we practice spiritual life, and there is a spiritual culture. Very, very deep relationships can form. Very deep relationships. I remember, for instance, I have not met Sudama very often. We had once or twice seen each other briefly in India, and during visits I have also to your country, I have also seen him very briefly, but still I feel a very deep connection, because Sudama is practicing a spiritual culture, and this spiritual culture has, amongst other things, other items, respect as a very important ingredient. Humility, very important ingredient. And therefore, the relationships of chanters to each other tend to be very deep. I always see this at the end of the Radhadish Mellows, when the last, it's usually Sunday, the last day is finished. First of all, there's a tradition to go really overtime. We sometimes sing, although the program is finished, we continue to sing to 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, even later sometimes. And afterwards, everyone still stays in the hall and exchanges with talks to each other. They may talk, say some very deep subjects. If you practice a spiritual culture in your life, and you are really not just a mouth devotee who is just by the lips a devotee, but really who is cleaning his heart, then very wonderful relationships can develop amongst each other. We saw this when Amarananda was our guest a week ago, or something like that, we were having guests, many guests in Gaura Bhavan, and because we were careful to practice a culture of service, of respect, very deep relationships have formed in a brief time only. I just received a voicemail from His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj, who has completed a japa retreat. It was for 1 week, I believe, in Russia with 500 participants. You know, in Russia, there are many devotees, and normally much more would take part, but because of the present restrictions related to COVID, we have only 500 during a retreat. And he told me that he had never seen in his whole life, maybe he's 40 years practicing Krishna consciousness, he has never seen such deep relationship as forming amongst the participants, because, he said, we were practicing the same culture of chanting the holy name. So chanting is not just a sadhana, a spiritual practice. Chanting is really entering into a relationship, first with Krishna, or very very importantly with Krishna, and second of all the devotees. Some would even say first with the devotees and then with Krishna. And from one perspective, this is totally right, because Krishna says, he who says he's directly my devotee is not my devotee. Only he who says he's the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So it's about relation. There is a relationship aspect there. But I like to stress in this lecture the relationship to Krishna, because that relationship needs to be given special attention to during chanting. during chanting. When I chant, I should not talk with others. I should talk with Krishna only. No? Have you ever been in a very fulfilling relationship? I'm asking everyone. Please no need for you to answer loudly. Just ask yourself very much, have you ever been or are you at present in a very deeply fulfilling relationship? I'm speaking of a human relationship. If you are, you will most probably agree with me that this is really fulfilling. If you are presently not in a deep relationship, I think you will agree with me that you would like to be very close to someone. I'm not speaking only about man-woman relationship. I speak also about having a real good friend when you are a male person. We all hanker after a relationship. When we are hearing about our relationship with Krishna, though, we have a little doubt. Our doubt is, to be in a relationship, I need to know the person. But Krishna is not known to me so much. I've read about him. I have heard about him. But we are now speaking not about a theoretical relationship, something which is more from the head. We really are speaking about a heart-to-heart relationship. I sometimes hear questions from devotees who ask me, now you always speak about Krishna, but I don't feel anything for Krishna. I'm really sorry, I have heard a lot about him, and I know I have. There's a God and I'm part of him. But as far as feeling in the heart is concerned, I feel for so many other relationships, but but unfortunately not so much for Krishna. And those who speak to me about it, they are not happy about this. They're very unhappy about it, but what can they do? What to do? My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear skeptics, if you are very, very sincere and honest with yourself, you know that only in special moments where a lot of kripa or mercy came, you can really feel, experience this loving bond towards Krishna. But the fact that this is not yet there, it is dormant, does not mean that it is not the strongest relationship. Love of Krishna is always inherent in the soul. And when the soul is becoming freed from the material limitations, at that time this relationship with Krishna fully develops. I would like to give you an analogy. See, we, all of us, except maybe for our Satya, who was born in Krishna consciousness, but Satya brought also a lot from her past life, spiritual things, but also she is still a conditioned soul, is also attachments to the world. All of us are born in the prison of the material world. It's almost like we are like swans who were born in a cage. Sudama, please give the word for cage. What is cage? Please say.
Afas.
Afas. All of us, conditioned souls, were born in the material world. We are prisoners of this material energy. We experience birth, disease. Some of us experience old age. You can see here, gray hair coming. No problem. All of us experience old age, and we will experience death for sure. So, therefore, because we are born with this covering of the material energy, we can be compared with a swan. Swan, Sudama?
Yes. Oh.
We can be compared with a swan who was born in a cage and has only seen the cage. As a result, this swan has developed some dysfunctional behavior. It sometimes takes its beak and tears out its feathers because it is so desperate, it feels so claustrophobic that its behavior has become influenced. In the same way, our behavior is very influenced. We are often doing things which harm ourselves. Those of you who are interested in psychology know how often we have negative concepts which go in our mind again and again and again, and we create so much misery and harm for us because of our own mind, our own thoughts. But we are not meant for this. Just like the swan is meant to swim freely in the lake and eat from the lotus flowers and be in the sunshine and the natural elements, be in the rain. We are also meant for a life of freedom. And now imagine one thing, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics. Imagine somehow the door of the cage is opened and the swan moves out of the cage and into a lake. He immediately will know how to swim. He immediately will know how to find its food. And you know, the swans go with their head down on the ground of the lake and they find their food there. Because these things are dormant. This knowledge is dormant. Sudama, what is the word for dormant?
Hofte.
It is always sleeping inside. It is always there with the swan. So, in the same way, our relationship with Krishna is always there. It is not there in the sense that we have love of Krishna now. Somehow we just have to do some psychological trick and get it out. No, not then. Now, but it is there as a is the meaning of our life. Just like in the swan who is born, remember, born in the cage, swimming and enjoying the freedom is there as its meaning, as its purpose. It is the inherent in this sense. So in the same way, your relationship to Krishna is always there, my dear devotees. We have in Germany an interesting factor. I think I have told you about it in the past during visits. We, you know, in the Second World War, we have these wars in Europe. So this was the Second World War. The Allied forces were also taking part in it. It happened that family members from countries like Poland and Romania were torn apart. I know that the Germans, the Nazis, Nazi Germans, had taken the young boys from Romania and brought them to Germany. They preferred little babies, you know, little, small babies. And they took them, they brought them to Germany because they needed fighters for their war machine. And these young people were growing up in Germany without really knowing their parents, because the little baby, small baby, is not talking with the parents, and it is just waking up in the body and just learning to use the arms and everything. So after the war, many years after, when I was young, it was there, this program was there, that Romanians who were living in Germany and who had been taken away from their parents when they were small babies, they were allowed, or they were brought by a certain program, you know, German program, back to Romania, and they could get in contact with their parents. So there was this one person, a Romanian person, who had come to Germany as a baby. He was kidnapped, and who had become a very wealthy director of a bank in Frankfurt. Very wealthy, you know. And he found out about this program, not a computer program, you know, office, which would help him to find his parents. And he went there, he made contact with this office, and then somehow they found out where his parents lived in Romania. They had a little house there in some faraway village in the countryside. And just imagine, now this bank director is coming to his parents, and he brings presents, maybe some stereo radio or some nice foodstuffs or nice warm clothing and so on. So he comes and he's before the door of the house of his parents. He tries to ring the bell, but the bell doesn't work any longer, it's so old. So he knocks at the door. And then he hears some steps coming closer. And the door opens. And there is a very old man there. The old man looks at the boy, not the boy, the Romanian bank director. The Romanian bank director looks at the old man, and all of a sudden, the old man cries out in Romanian language, "Son!" And the younger man, the bank director, who's now a bank director in Frankfurt, calls out, "Oh, father!" And they embrace and they cry, "Oh!" And from where do they know? How do they feel this? It's very difficult to answer. How does the swan know how to swim and function in the water? My dear devotees, this is inherent. The relationship is inherent. Sudamaji, inherent, please.
Daruni.
It's always there. You just need to cultivate it a little bit. The way the analogy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the seed, a small seed. In the small seed is a whole tree with fruits and so on. It's always there, it just needs to be watered. And then this comes out, the creeper comes out of the seed and can grow nicely. And this is the process of chanting. This is watering the seed of our dormant or inherent relationship with Krishna. There's a very, very nice example given in the scriptures about this phenomena. It is about Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as you have heard, was born as the son of a maidservant. He once had the opportunity to associate with four great souls, and he served them. And in their association, he heard a lot about Krishna. So much so that when his mother died, soon after that, that meeting with the great souls, he actually wanted to find Krishna. He was a young boy at that time. I do not know precisely his age, maybe 6 years, maybe 7 years, like that, very young. But because his mother was gone, he thought, now I'm only interested in my relationship with Krishna. So he went to find Krishna. And what he did is, He is describing. Wait a minute. He chanted a mantra. It is said here, I'm reading to you from the first canto, chapter 5, text 38. Maybe it's a good idea if our Sudama can just read this, translate this for us, because it's very, very important to understand this. He can translate for us into your sweet language. Do you have the Bhagavatam with you in some mobile telephone, maybe, or so, in your language?
I can bring it up. Yes, just please give me a moment.
Yes. It's first canto, chapter 5, text 38. So I will read it in English and Sudama will help us with the translation. Iti mudya bidanena mantramutim amutikam jajate yagya purusham sasam yakdashana puman. Thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form.
کسی بیننده حقیقیه که پرستش میکنه در فرم ارتعاش صوتی روحانی شخصیت علای خداوند ویشنو رو، کسی که هیچ فرم مادی نداره.
Yeah, the point here is the Lord can be worshipped in the form of transcendental sound representation or mantras, although he is not seen with these eyes, he has no material form. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting of the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. No? Narada Muni chanted this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Nirudaya Nama Sankarsanaya Cha. And there was a wonderful result. He said that the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, whose glories and activities are pleasing to hear, at once appears on the seat of my heart as if called for as soon as I begin to chant his holy activities. You follow? Krishna is Amutikam, he has no material form. But he can be worshipped through mantras, through the chanting. And Narada Muni says, as soon as I do this, he appears in my heart. In other words, it becomes a heart-to-heart relationship. These are wonderful verses, and maybe our Siddheshwari, you can make notes of them in your notebook. I saw you have a notebook with you. 1538, huh? That is there. And the verse before, and then 1638. 33. You can read in your own time, Siddheshwari, and you can share these two verses with everyone. It can be maybe something like a homework, you know. After the retreat, everyone can take these two verses and study the purport of Srila Prabhupada. It's very important, and the purport, Prabhupada says, really important things about the relationship. See, my point here of all what I have said so far is, although we at the moment don't feel so strongly this relationship, it can be developed by chanting the holy name. And I gave you the two analogies. Although the swan who is in captivity, who is in a cage, does not yet know how to swim, the moment it gets free, this knowledge which is inherent, which is dormant, is immediately coming up. Or I gave you a second analogy. The moment the seed is nourished, seed. How do we say seed, Sudama?
Basil.
Yes, if that seed is nourished, the plant comes out. No, this is something very important to know. Sadhya, your greatest lover is Krishna. Siddheshwari, the most lovable person is Krishna. But we always suffer and we are insecure. Marananda, Masya, Sudamaji, we are always suffering and are insecure in our life when this relationship is not yet developed. We suffer like a swan in a cage and we develop behavior which is not good for us, which is harming us. And it is possible to develop this relationship by chanting the holy name. But we must chant it in a certain way. And this brings me now to the practical part of this presentation. It is important for us to chant this in a way where we are developing our relationship for Krishna. Some of you have read this book, The Living Name, and this, I think, is the most important point about this book. You need to make spiritual progress by really becoming aware of who this relationship. And there are three steps which you need to do, and then you are in that relationship. Would you like to learn these three steps?
Yeah, you are.
Good. I would have told them to you anyways. These three steps are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You need to as a first step, if you want to enter the relationship with Krishna, you need to become aware of who you are. I think you remember from from listening to Prabhupada's lectures or reading his book, that he has again and again told us we are not this body, we are the soul inside. Yes, we have physical needs, 100%. This is not denied. We need to eat. We need to sleep. We need to eating. When there's danger, we need to be safe and defend ourselves. And some of us need also friends and some exchange, you know, some need family people and they require family life and so on. This is definitely physical needs are there, but I'm speaking now about who we are. When we take care only of the body, and this means taking care of the physical needs, we will not be satisfied. We are like those people who have a car and who only polish the car but who never drive anywhere with the car. It is unfulfilling. It is frustrating, really. So when you chant and you want to develop this loving relationship with Krishna, it's important that when you sit down to chant, you first understand, I am your part. I belong to you. You and me have a relationship. We are meant to live this relationship. I will not be satisfied in my life if I fulfill these material or physical relationships, but if I neglect or forget the relationship to you, please, my dear Krishna, please accept me as your servant. It's very important. My dear devotee, so important. So when you sit down to chant, you first enter your understanding of who you are, and you sometimes, when you sit, you need to also forget these other needs for some time. You all know, if you sit down and you are only thinking about, there's something to eat. I need to eat. I have to chant now, but no. Let me phone Amarananda. He has good foodstuffs in his Amarananda shop. I need to eat now something. Then how can you chant? Or if you sit down and you think, oh no, I have no friend, I have no real friend, oh no, 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 no. You think about these things, how can you chant? Your mind is bewildered. Physical needs need to be taken care of outside the chanting. But when we sit down to chant, we must think about our relationship with Krishna. And for that, the first step is to know who we are. The next step is to connect with Krishna. This can be done by chanting before a picture of Krishna. It can be done in form of praying to Krishna. It can be done in the form of chanting in a prayerful mood to Krishna. Somehow we need to be aware of the name of the persons whose name we chant. And the last thing is, you need to somehow stay in this space of the relationship, inhabit it. Don't get out of, come out of it, but stay with this. And this will be really very powerful exercise. I would like to now give you a good Japa workshop where we practice these three things in a simple way. And I'm really hoping that this will be very useful for you. I may need Gaur Krishna's help here. Yes, how do I do this? Gaur Krishna, could you maybe just photograph this and then I can read it from your mobile telephone, because I need for this meditation two things. One moment, just technical arrangement needs to be, just this line here, please. This, not this line, step one, two, three, these three. Yeah, acha. Yeah, so. Are you all ready? Good. I'm putting my things together. So what I will do is, we will chant together now. What we will do is, thank you very much, we will chant in one voice together. First we will chant japa together for step one and step two. And then this will go into a kirtan, same melody as we sing this morning. Yes. Si. My dear devotees, dear friends, dear skeptics, in this world, we have many relationships that occupy almost all of our time. We have friends, we have family members, we have, maybe we work, and we have relationships at our working place. But all these relationships are like the smoke of incense. They are there for some time and then they are gone, and you somehow still remember them a little, like the smoke of the incense which stays in the room, although the incense is long burned, it's long gone. We carry these relationships or memories of these relationships, sometimes from life to life to life, and ignore our essential relationship with Krishna. When we chant, we are correcting this. When we chant the holy name, we are trying to establish this relationship. So I request you to sit straight. Those of you who sit on, well, I don't know, sometimes when we are in the car we can't sit straight. Please, the idea is straighten your spine, huh? In whatever way is good. Don't sit so super comfortable, but you can sit on the chair, Siddheshwari. I see your the idea is straight sitting. Dobro. I request you to do a little body scan. It's called Deha Dharana. Bring your attention to your feet, the knees, the hips, relax. bring your attention to the your back, lower back, upper back. Relax. Chest. Relax. Belly area. Relax. Shoulders. Relax. Back of the neck and back of the head. Relax. Top of the head. Forehead. Relax. The eyes. Relax. Inside of the mouth and the jaw. Relax. Now do a few deep breaths. You can deepen your breath by lengthening your exhale. I sometimes do a few breaths where I just open the mouth and I go like this. Deep breath. Please become aware. That in your truest being, you are an eternal soul. In your truest being, you are a very, very dear servant of Krishna. When you are outside of the cage, you are like a free swan. Very dear and close person to Radha and Krishna. Like that swan who is near to the lotus. The same way you are near to the lotus feet of Krishna. Lastly, chant and sing with me in this space how you are an eternal soul, part of Krishna. Krishna. We really don't want to stop. Hare, Hare. It continues in the heart. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Very good. So So the essence of this presentation, my dear devotees, is yes, we have this relationship with Krishna. It's like the tree that is hidden in the mango seed. Huh? The tree, mango seed, it is there. But we need to develop it or cultivate it. And as we have heard, the Lord is present. Mantra Amurtikam, although he has no material form, Amurti, he is present in the mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. But we need to chant it in with a sense of relationship, and for that is only very simple. I mean, truth is always very simple. Make sure that the real you chants, no? This is the rule before all other rules. I want to make sure that I am chanting, not just my tongue and so on. So you need to quickly connect with this soul. I once heard this. The main rule of prayer is make sure that the real me is praying. Isn't it? Otherwise it's lip service. Isn't it, Mazia? That the real person must pray, you know. Not the false person. So for that we need to just connect with Krishna. We need to just connect with ourselves, I wanted to say. I will do this. Today is good sun here, so it's not so cold. And I will go outside. I will go with my bicycle to a bench, and then I will only chant. In a long time I will chant. The real me will sit there under some tree in the nature somewhere. Make sure the real me chants, and then address Krishna. No, my dear Lord Krishna, please, we have been separated for intolerably long. But now I'm making my contact with you. And then you need to stay in that space. That's the whole art. Of course, the mind, as we have learned yesterday, it is often distracting, with distracting thought. No, but when you chant, you just stay in that space of the relationship. And then, chanting is so nice, you don't want to stop. After it says not in the program is not to stop chanting. Good. This is what I wanted to say. I hope you could understand how important this is, and I hope you will give it more attention in your life at this point. If you want to learn more about it, I've written this book. And I think Siddheshwari will have an English copy, or others of you, so you can borrow it, make photocopies from it. Living name. There is one chapter about chanting in relationship. I can just tell Siddheshwari which page it starts. Krishna, Krishna. So nice to be together with all of you. Really so nice. Here, 52. It starts page 52. No? There it starts. Hare Krishna. So, finished. We have still a little time. Let us see if there is any question from any one of you to what you have heard, or even questions in general. I know Sadhya has always questions when she is awake, when her intelligence is awake.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, may I ask a
question? Yes, please.
Thank you so much, really. Yesterday you mentioned about how to say the wake up call, alarm. And I was thinking that we have heard many times this alarm and we wake up, but so to say we again fall back to the sleep. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada once said that it's just 1 minute to really wake up in the really Krishna consciousness. So my question is, if I can put it in the right way, what is the reason we wake up and again fall back to sleep? Is it the lack of faith? Is it just the conditions? And in one way, how can we really stay awake in the Krishna consciousness, in our maximum full capacity of inspiration? Thank you very much.
When you have done something repeatedly, again and again and again, it becomes a habit. I have noted that during the lockdown period, I'm not traveling now so much, and there were, how long ago, Krishna? Two years. Oh, almost. Yeah. Almost 2 years. And, you know, I have seen that in my life, I'm very productive during the day with internet, writing, phoning, so much is I do. Then when the evening comes, I want some, you know, I'm not a machine. I need some thing to read. I read. And then I've noted before I know 12 o'clock is there. Oh, it's already so late. Oh my God. Then I need to go to bed. But I find sleeping so boring, then I do not want to go to bed. Then I don't want to go to bed, but I have to force myself because otherwise I cannot wake up. So I have developed a habit to go a little later to bed, and that has affected, unfortunately, my morning program a little. I'm bringing it back. No, it's not a big problem. I want to give an analogy, yes? So now, if tomorrow I get up very early again, my body is not used to this very early time, and I will feel very tired when I get up very early. It's just natural. Habits, when you do things for a long time, it forms certain habits, and these habits are very strong, Amarananda. These become physically embedded things, you know. If you want to get up early, you need and break the habit of sleeping late into the day, it will take a little time before you have broken the old habit. Because sometimes devotees are not really seeing how strong this is. They become, these habits become ingrained in our brain, you know. if you, for instance, and the body and the mind gets used to it, if you, for instance, eat late every day, let us say at 10 o'clock, you will be always hungry at 10 o'clock in the night. You won't be able to sleep after some time before eating and so on. So you will be compelled. A person who is used to smoking, I think no one of you was a strong smoker, but I have heard that those who are habituated smokers, it's really very, very, very hard to break that habit when you do it. So therefore, we say a regular spiritual practice is so important, because with a spiritual practice, you are creating a habit. For instance, I can tell you here, this is a small circle, we know each other, it's a little, we are personal. I find no difficulty to chant 16 rounds, because now I'm doing this since 50 years. I can't imagine a day. It's just not possible without chanting 16 or more rounds, because it's such a strong habit. You know, it's just, and I'm happy that it's such a strong habit. Or I just need to read in Prabhupada's books. My whole system doesn't work in any other way. I need to do it, you know. If I don't do it, I will do it in the midnight, you know. I will read there because it's just such a strong habit. And I have developed also taste for that. I remember when I was a young boy, all my friends were smoking, and I also thought, well, maybe it's cool to smoke. No, young people always will say it must be cool. So, but I must tell you, I never managed to come into the habit of smoking. So therefore, I always vomited, and I never had a smoking problem. I never really smoked in my life. I tried, but it just didn't. I didn't cross the threshold where it became a habit. In the same way, there are many things. I'm very happy that I came young to Krishna consciousness, which I don't know what this is, you know. I'm still I'm not habituated to seeing movies. When I see, sometimes I see small part of a movie, I become totally shocked when I see everything, and I almost, when someone falls from a top of a mountain or so, I feel, oh, ooh, I almost fall down from my chair, because I'm not accustomed to this, you know, and I'm happy. it's not yet it's not a habit, you know. I have other habits. For instance, my habit is I need to walk also. I'm a walking species. I need. So you need to create a positive spiritual habit, and that takes some work. My dear devotees, that takes some work. You need, Patanjali writes about this in the Yoga Sutras. Our Siddheshwari, I think, knows. Habit has to be done. You have to do it repeatedly, again and again and again and again and again. Otherwise, it does not stick with you. Be very, very, very careful to not develop wrong habits. Because once they are there, oh, it takes so much work to get rid of them. Oh, so much. Whew. I think the worst habit which we have is negative thoughts. Thoughts which repeat themselves, go in our mind, and which just kill us. They are not good for us, but we are habituated to think like this. And then I like this from the Kumaras, you know, the four Kumaras. They never wanted to become Grihasthas. So they did not want to have any experience of sexuality, you know. So what they did is they kept their bodies from growing, so that they don't have any of this attachment to the opposite sex. They remained young boys, but inside they were very old, you know. They were Kumaras, thousands of years they are old. They are really wise, you know. But when you see them, you see them like little small boys, you know, going in and out. Marcia.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Yesterday, you explained about our eyes or ears, about these things that they are not cooperative with us, the mind. When we start to chanting, he said, no, not again, please don't do it. So I'm thinking about that these equipment, I mean, are we equipped with this equipment that originally they are not cooperative, or because of this habit or because of our treatment, they are not cooperative? What is originally of this equipment that we are equipped, or body are equipped?
You're very... Marcia's question is really nice, you know. Yeah. I mean, there are many prayers in our tradition, and some prayers say that the body in itself is an obstacle to spiritual life. They are meant to forget Krishna, the mind, for instance. There's a song, Amara Jiva Sada Paperata Nahiko Punyera Le. Amara Jivan Sada Paperata Nahika Punyera Le Esha Parere Udvega Diyache Yekata Diyache Jivera Klesha. Here it is said, my life is full of sin. There's not a trace of good qualities within it. I have caused others so much anxiety and trouble. I'm never afraid to engage in sinful activities for the sake of my own happiness. I'm merciless and selfish. And the song continues like this. It implies that what chance do I have with this body and this mind? They are Bhaktivinoda Thakur in another prayer says, my mind and my body are not under my control. They do what they want because of these old habits. What hope do I have? And then he says, you, my Lord, are known as Rishikesha, the one who controls the senses, no? Please help me. And Masi, the body and mind will always create some difficulty. Prabhupada said, even in saints, saintly people, they have a mind and senses. So they think about sex. And they have some feeling, oh, how attractive, how interesting this could be, how nice it could be. But the point is, they have developed something that they don't will it, they don't act according to this. A dark cloud can always come, even if you are a saint. The dark cloud of Samaya comes, but whereas a conditioned soul, a normal person, feels forced to act, the saint says, no, it is not, I do not wish to do this. So, why is he successful? Because he has prayed to Krishna, please help me. I think, Masi, if you ask me, the body and mind are so deeply accustomed to material life that if we don't have higher help, it will be very difficult for us to control. We must pray to Krishna that this is my problem. Do you know, just the last, you know, here in Germany, we have a group called Bhakti Recovery. Sudama, what does recovery mean? It's something like reformation or recovery, huh?
Sazi.
Yeah. So this is now a program which is all over ISKCON. It is for devotees who have again fallen back into the habit to drink alcohol. Yes, there are some devotees who are having this difficulty because they were, before Krishna consciousness, very habituated to drink alcohol. Or there are devotees who do smoke some marijuana or what is it, hashish or so on, or there are devotees who have difficulties to follow the four regulative principles, this one principle in relation to illicit sex. They feel very helpless. They do not, they know it is not the fulfillment of life, but they feel very helpless in this. So for them there is a group, it is called Bhakti Recovery. It is all over the world now. It's like, have you heard, I don't know if it is available in your country, Alcoholics Anonymous? Since many years this is there. I think maybe 50 years, maybe 60 years. It is these people who want to become free from the drinking habit, they go to this group. And in the group, it is there are three steps which they do. I mean, they do 12 steps. It's the 12-step program. But three are very important. It is the alcoholic person who has a habit of drinking has to recognize, oh, this habit is so strong, unfortunately, I tried many times to become free of this, but it is not possible for me to become free on my own. It's 70 years, says Gaur Krishna, 70 years in operation, this program. But I have seen that there is a higher force than me, God. And therefore I sincerely pray to the Lord to please help me give up my addiction to this drinking process, to this alcohol drinking. And they are anonymous. You know, they meet in their group, maybe once a week, but they don't tell anything what is done inside the group. And they, and some people, some you will be surprised. There will be very famous people coming to this group, but because it's anonymous, no one hears about it. It's like in the underground, you know. And this process to, first of all, honestly admit I have a problem here at this point, and then to give it over into the hands of the Lord is the single most successful program for becoming free from addiction. They have 12 other steps. You can Google 12-step program. It's very, very, very well known. And so on. So we have in Bhakti, we have seen in there are very good devotees who have somehow the habit is so strong to do something which is not good for them. And then they go to this Bhakti recovery program and somehow it helps them to overcome this. But you can do this also in your own. You don't need to go to a group. Sometimes it may help, but normally our problem is not so strong. So on our own we can say, my Lord, I've tried this to become free from this negative thoughts, for instance, for so long, but I have not been successful up till now. Please, kindly, I have seen on my own strengths, the body and mind seem to be stronger than me. Therefore, please help me. And if you can pray sincerely, not lip service, but from the heart, if the real you prays, there are amazing good results for this, really amazing good. I have met people who had a heroin addiction. Do you know heroin and very bad, very dangerous. People die from this addiction. And with this program, where they say, I tried everything, they have been released from it. Sorry. Hare Krishna. So this is what I hope I have given an answer. My dear devotees, it is now time. Time. It's very, very cruel. And the day is there, but we should do this more often. We can talk with Siddheshwari, you can talk amongst yourself, and we should do this more often. It is so nice. There are three more steps in good chanting. You have learned now two. So, I mean, who can say we have learned? It takes a long time to learn these things. I mean, you have to be a little serious and break the old habits and so on. I thank you very much. I will have to go now. There are still many things on my service list for today. I will request Because some of you know Gaur Krishna. Yes, Gaur Krishna. Technical assistance. Hare Krishna. He is a friend of Amarananda. They are very good friends. good. Hare Krishna. So I think we will say goodbye here. Is it? Good. Then it was a great pleasure to see everyone. And Sudama, take good care of your translation. When we have Sudama there, there is no translation problem. We get all the right words. I wish you a wonderful day today. What is the time there?
It's almost 11 a.m. It's 10 to 11.
Acha. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, it's 2.5 hour, the time difference, but now we just, 2 days ago, we had daylight saving change. So now in 2 weeks again, we will be like 2.5 hour ahead of you.
You are always ahead of me. I'm joking. Some joke, some humor must be there.
That's why I miss you a lot.
On behalf of everyone, I just wanted to thank you so much that you gave us this opportunity to have this association. It was very enlivening. We were drying up in Tehran. COVID situation, many social situations, so much economy problems, this problem, that problem. We were completely in Maya. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Amarananda also tells us about the situation. I do know, but my answer is, Prabhus, we cannot sometimes change external circumstances, just like it's not possible for us to change the weather, really. But we can change the inner weather, the inner climate, you know, that can be changed. And the chanting of the holy name is really such a... It's Krishna, you know, it's, you don't need more. It's, everything is there. All the best, thank you, and Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada.